often when something bad happens, people have to give up buying something, give up some meals, paying for education maybe, give up paying for other things. And so one of the things we find is that when something bad happens, people are sort of able to access these loans, and it prevents them from having to cut whatever that expenditure was.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks, a series of interviews with practitioners around the world. My name is Tim Phillips. Joining us on the line today from the Sloan School of Management at MIT is Tavneet Suri. She has done a lot of work in mobile banking and financial inclusion, especially in sub-Saharan Africa. Her latest work is on the impact of digital credit, which she's going to guide us through today. And Tavneet's also VoxDev's editor-in-chief. Tavneet, welcome to VoxDev Talks.
Hi, Tim. Thanks so much.
Now, we've heard a lot about financial inclusion as a catalyst for development, but clearly on its own, it's not enough. It has to reflect the real-world needs of the people who are being included. So what do we know about those needs?
Financial inclusion and financial well-being, in my mind, are pretty different things. Financial inclusion sort of has this component of, do people have access to financial tools? I think that's only one input into this concept of, do people have financial well-being? Are they able to kind of deal with the financial things that come their way? And so there's a few things in financial well-being that financial inclusion doesn't measure, like how do you deal with bad events in your life? I might have a bank account, but it might not help me dealing with, you know, I lose my job or I lose my crop or something else bad happens, someone gets sick. A broader concept than pure inclusion is, what does that do to your financial well-being? And so a lot of the work we've been doing is trying to focus on the well-being side and trying to understand, well, if people get bank accounts or get credit or get mobile money, how does it affect their overall financial well-being? And does it mean they can manage their financial lives better?
Now, that brings us to the topic of digital credit. You've recently been involved in evaluating the effectiveness of digital credit in Kenya. But what precisely is it, and who is providing this credit?
Yeah, that's a great question. So as you probably know, bank branches are few and far between in the developing world, especially in parts of Africa. So the work we've been doing is in Kenya, and digital credit is basically a bank account layered over your mobile money account. And you can open the bank account on your phone. You don't even need a smartphone for some providers of these products. And you kind of open it up. It does a check on your credit. The way it does this is it uses some source of alternative data, usually something about your call records or your call behavior or your mobile money records or all of those. And it creates a credit score for you. And then you kind of request a loan over the phone. It gets deposited into your mobile money account. You can then spend it. You can save in the bank account. And if you ever want to deposit or withdraw money, you're going to use the infrastructure of mobile money. So you use the mobile money agents on the ground to kind of do the cash in, cash out. So it's built over mobile money and allows people to use these rails and this huge infrastructure for mobile money that's been built over the last decade in some countries to layer over a purely digital bank account. If you think of the bank side, right, this reduces their costs quite a lot. I don't need branches. I don't need tellers. I don't need loan officers. I scaled down what I need at the bank, and the cost of reaching people has gone down tremendously. And then for people themselves, there's mobile money agents. In Kenya, this is sort of less than a kilometer to a mobile money agent, almost close to half a kilometer for the average household to reach a mobile money agent. And so again, for households, it becomes cheaper and easier to use than a traditional bank account.
So who is providing this?
So it's being provided by a bunch of banks in East Africa now, and sort of hopefully launching in other parts of Africa, as well as sort of some entrepreneurs. So the product we study is the biggest one in Kenya. It's called M-Shwari, and it's provided by the Commercial Bank of Africa. But there are competing products from some institutions that are not actually banks, but are just doing credit. Examples of things like Tala and Branch that are San Francisco entrepreneurs who've set up shop in developing countries to do this. So there's a number of providers. By far, I think the largest one in Africa is the Commercial Bank of Africa. We study their product in Kenya. They have similar products in Tanzania and Uganda, and I think they're launching in a couple more African countries.
Is mobile credit being widely taken up compared to more traditional forms of credit?
Yeah, absolutely. So It's been really popular in Kenya. If you think of the number of the people in our study who have a loan on this, it's around the 30% mark in total, 33-34% mark. So that's quite high. If we compare that to people in our study who have bank loans, that's ranging in the 5%. If it's a microfinance loan, that's again below 5%. Savings and credit co-ops, again below 5%. So most other types of loans, 5-6% of people have, and an Mshwari loan is kind of at the 30% mark. So far more popular and taken up. One of the things to remember, right, for a consumer, you get scored. I don't have to provide some documentation to get a loan. You know, if I went to a bank, I can't just show up and say, can you give me a loan? These are completely uncollateralized loans, and they are scored on the back end. So you don't really have to provide any information.
How well does this credit scoring work? Traditionally, in the developing world, money lending has been a face-to-face business.
Yeah, all of lending has been a face-to-face business. MFIs are a face-to-face business. It's a great question. I don't have a great answer for you. We're doing some work now to understand whether these algorithms creating credit scores, how well they work. So hopefully in about 6 months, I can answer that question for you.
Now, when you were evaluating the progress of these loans, you were trying to find out what the credit's being used for and the difference that it was making to the people who were receiving the credit. How did you do this?
We wanted to try and understand what these Mshwari or digital credit loans are doing to people. And so the way we thought about doing this is, you don't really want to go do a survey of people who have a loan and people who don't in general, right? That's because the people who have a loan, you know, actually got a loan and probably look on average different than the people who didn't. So for example, you know, people who get a loan might have more stable incomes. The bank might look for that because you might want to make sure people can repay it. And so if I told you, oh, I went and surveyed a bunch of people who have a loan and a bunch of people who don't, and the guys who had a loan had more stable incomes, that's not necessarily an outcome of a loan. It could be an outcome of the selection process of how the bank chooses people. What's nice about a credit score, or the credit score that Mshwari built, is, you know, at some point you draw a line, at which point you say, okay, this is the credit score cutoff. Anybody above the score gets a loan, and anybody below the score doesn't. And there's some arbitrariness to where you draw that, probably driven by the business itself. When you draw these sorts of rules where, you know, above some cutoff, people get a loan and below they don't, I can look at people who are right around the cutoff. And they're going to be pretty similar, right? The people who just missed a loan because their credit score was a tiny, tiny bit below, and the people who just got a loan because their credit score was a tiny, tiny bit above. It's like, you know, almost close to a coin toss at that point when they're very similar in credit score. So what we did in this study was we took a sample of people very close to the credit score cutoff, and we surveyed them to try and understand, okay, what does this Mshwari loan do? What are the impacts? How does it affect people's lives? And so we surveyed about 4,200 households in Kenya, some just above the credit score, some just below. And we surveyed them about a year to a year and a half after they had opened an Mshwari account, giving them time to take out multiple loans. And a lot of them had taken out multiple loans on Mshwari. One thing I should say is that digital credit products are very standardized at the moment, at least in Kenya. So it's a month loan, right? I take out a loan, it's due within a month or 30 days. I can pay it off and then take out another. And the idea is, as you take out loans and repay them, you're going to build your credit history in the same way that we think of us building credit history here in the US or in the UK. And so people do take out multiple loans because they'll pay one off and then take another one out.
What did we find out about the people who are using digital credit then? How did it help them?
We have two big results. One is that it improves their financial resilience or financial well-being. You know, like we started off this interview, we were talking about one part of financial well-being being how you deal with bad events. And so often when something bad happens, people have to give up buying something, give up some meals, paying for education, maybe give up paying for other things. And so one of the things we find is that when something bad happens, people are sort of able to access these loans, and it prevents them from having to cut whatever that expenditure was. And so they're less likely to forego any expenditures when something bad happens to them. And that sort of improves your resilience, right? You can maintain important bits of your life when bad things happen to you. We found mobile money did the same thing as well. So there's a nice tie-in across those results. The second thing we found was that the propensity to spend on education goes up. And we see that in the data too.
If we think about short-term lending in other contexts in the developed world, it's considered to be generally a bad thing. Some people be thinking, isn't it better if we focused on saving rather than borrowing?
Yeah, that's a good question, Tim. I do think that on MSHWARI, we can't say anything about the savings component because we're using this neat sort of credit scoring idea. So the only piece we can say something about is the credit component. There is a literature on savings accounts in the developing world showing they do have impacts. I don't think it's either or. In my books, it's about getting people a whole set of financial tools that help them. If you think of even this loan, the MSHWARI loan, much as I said, take up is great. 30% of people take a loan. There's 70% of people who don't. So it's not a loan that fits their needs. And why would we expect that? Why would we expect a loan that is a 30-day loan and the only loan to fit everybody's needs? If you think of the US or developed country context, there's a product portfolio. You have 100 different products and you pick the ones you think are useful to you. I think that should be the goal, not trying to pick one or the other, but trying to say, can we provide a portfolio of options for people that they can use to deal with their financial lives? This takes me back to the inclusion well-being bit that we started on, right? It's not about just, do you have a savings account? Do you have a bank account? It's, do you have things that help you? Do you have things that make you better off financially and make you more stable financially?
You've been involved with the use of mobile technology in development for a few years now. How important as a component of this is digital credit going to be?
It's so nice to say a few years, Tim. It's been 10. You know, I think digital credit will be a component. Right now, I think, like I said, there's no product diversity really. So I think it's going to remain where it's at. I don't think it's going to be used by everybody. What I'm hoping is that the mobile money infrastructure provides other entrepreneurs the ability to grow product portfolios, to offer customers or consumers better choices, broader choices, more choices. I think that's one piece. I think the other piece is truly understanding the credit scoring system, which you already asked about. How good is this credit scoring using alternative data before we try and scale it across the whole world, right? Is it really predicting risk in the way we think it is? And so hopefully we'll have an answer to that. And then I think the other piece of this is trying to understand not just credit, but what other digital products might add value to consumers. You know, mobile money had big impacts and it provides a good basis for some people, but it also has this huge infrastructure component that I think lots of payments products in general could be built off of.
Thank you, Tavneet.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more podcasts from VoxDev, check out our website at voxdev.org.